Hi, and welcome to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends.
Hey, howdy, hi, I'm Cronus. I don't remember what I usually say. Thanks.
I'm Marzipan Vermilion. I murdered my boyfriend, but we're back together now that he's a ghost. I'm Daralise. Nice to meet you. I like TikToks that are funny and make fun of edgy teen comedies.
Hi, I'm Riley, and I'm trying on a onesie and I'm having trouble. Thanks, bye.
Riley's undressing on the pod. Ooh.
Ooh, what a saucy pod. Oh, it has a hood and pockets.
It's a good onesie, then. You look cozy.
Cute.
Thanks.
I'm also dying of the plague.
Oh, gosh.
But not the plague, just like a cold.
The plague, like the Black Death.
No.
Yeah. I also got fronted on by some pigeons today, and too many goddamn people talked to me.
Yeah, they fucking did, because they talked to me too, and it wasn't a vibe.
What? Why were the pigeons just so ugly today?
Probably because they were pastel metallic colors.
They were Kingdom Hearts pigeons. They had nobodies. I don't know.
Oh my god, they were absolutely heartless.
Yeah. I couldn't handle it.
Well, I was treacherous.
You didn't what?
I didn't see any pigeons today. On my end. I saw my sister. If that's close enough.
Oh my god.
So, we're gonna be starting a new game today. But first, I missed one thing in Birth by Sleep. There's a secret episode that comes after the secret movie. And I'm blaming it on the person who wrote the script that I'm using because it wasn't in the script.
Scripts be whack.
So it opens with the scene of Sora sleeping on the beach of Destiny Islands in Kingdom Hearts 1. And the number 1 appears on screen. It then cuts back to the secret movie, where Aqua is walking up to Ansem the Wise in the Realm of Darkness, and the number 0 shows up on screen. Then time reverses, and the words 0 point show up on screen. And we are now following Aqua pretty shortly after she fell into the Realm of Darkness, and she's holding tightly onto her Wayfinder, and it's glowing kind of brightly. As long as you're with me, I'll always find my way back. Always. And she walks down a dark path, and eventually the glow on her wayfinder begins to lessen. And she sees a portal of light open in the sky, which is followed by a beam of darkness shooting out of this portal of light. And she's confused, and then the numbers 0.5 show up on screen. Aqua then, for the first time, is faced with Heartless as she wanders the Realm of Darkness, wielding Ericus's Keyblade, Master Defender, as her own, after she sent hers off to help Terra. And Aqua is stalked and ambushed by a terrifying Heartless, and as it's approaching her, she says, "This monster... this is no one versed, just a dweller of darkness." And then after defeating the Heartless, she continues wandering, eventually seeing Cinderella's castle in the Realm of Darkness. "Could it be?" she asks, half hopefully, half full of sorrow. And then the words, "A fragmentary passage," show up on screen. And that's the secret move, the secret episode.
Okay.
Well, but here's the thing. Now we know about it. So it's not the secret episode anymore.
Correct.
Okay.
What did I just miss?
Some stuff jumped off of his bookshelf all cash.
You got
it happens.
You have some, you got some ghosts over there? Got some ghosts?
I mean, something like that.
Yeah, the ghost of Richard.
Is that what was over there? Oh my god.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize.
Oh. Yeah, that's not a ghost.
God.
That's not a ghost.
That is a gigantic dildo plastered to Austin's wall.
This is not going in the episode.
Right above Axel and Roxas.
Yeah, this is not going in the episode.
You can't get out, Austin.
I think it should. It's organic.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay, maybe. We'll see. We'll see how it flows in the edit.
How it flows in the edit. It's going to flow if you don't edit it.
This could be the goof.
Don't even make it the goof. Keep it in the episode. It belongs here. We're talking about Kingdom Hearts and dildos, folks. That's the tea. I'm glad you came. Join us on Discord. We might continue it. I don't know.
Speaking of stuff that we put inside people.
Oh.
Where are you segueing to? The fuck?
It's a line that we'll
get
to in
for our new merch.
In this game. It's a line we'll get to in this game. Kind of. It's not
is
sexual.
It bugs?
Yeah, it's bugs. They put it in him.
Who?
Doesn't matter.
Gross.
So, we're starting a new game now. This is Kingdom Hearts Recoded. It originally started coming out before Birth by Sleep even came out, but it was a mobile game in Japan only on flip phones called Coded. Because this was 2010, so it was mostly flip phones.
So the year of the Razor.
Yeah. And then it was released, I think, in 2011? Or maybe it was 2012, for the DS as a re-release called Recoded.
I was going to ask, because I've wondered this for a long time, Recoded, is that like coded again? We have recoded
yes.
this thing, or is it recolon coded and...
It's recolon coded. Like
so does that mean
chain.
Like regarding coded? Oh, it's like replied.
Yeah.
It's a clapback.
Reply all.
Wait,
yeah.
wait. What? It's a reply? A reply to what?
It is.
I wasn't listening.
To code. Oh my god.
It is just a remake, but they always use re, and it always is spelled R-E colon and then whatever word. So like when
it's
I say
a remake.
It's re. Chain of memories, it looks like it's in an email chain. It is a reply to something with the subject chain of memories.
So this is a remake of another game?
Which was called Coded.
Which was a Japanese-only mobile game on a flip phone.
Okay, I was gonna be like, oh man, do we got time shenanigans? Is this a post-scratch thing? What's happening?
Hi, everyone. I want to be really honest with you. My mental health was in a very fragile state the day that we tried to record the Recoded episode. So between that and the script being really boring and bad for the first half, it was a pretty big disaster, at least in my eyes. So because of this, the Recoded coverage will be a bit different. First, because I ruined the chance to record altogether, it'll just be me. And secondly, I will not be reading the script, at least not in its entirety. I'll be giving a reasonably in-depth summary and may pop into reading the script for scenes that are really important or really funny. I'm sorry that this means you won't be able to hear Cronus, Darylise, and Riley's live reactions to the story. Maybe I can convince them to sort of live tweet their reactions when listening to the episode in our Discord server. But with that all out of the way, let's hop into it. It begins with Naminé saying, "Goodbye." No, not goodbye. When I wake up, I'll find you. And then there'll be no lies. We're gonna be friends for real. Promise me, Naminé. And then we dive into the intro movie. It's not a great one. It's a bunch of clips from Kingdom Hearts 1, Chain of Memories, 358 over 2 days, and Kingdom Hearts 2. And as we progress through the clips in a chronological order, the clips get more and more distorted, with static and numbers and letters all flying all over the screen. But the second that it starts with Kingdom Hearts 2 clips, all that goes away. And Jiminy opens with some narration. Jiminy the Cricket. "So, now we've taken two journeys. One to stop the darkness from spreading, and the other to put all the lost hearts back where they belong. To tell the truth, neither one was easy, but I sure was glad to be the cricket to write down what happened. Two journeys, both sitting quiet, right here in these books." And the camera pans to two small brown books that are sitting on a desk, both emblazoned with a crown seal. "But now, looks like the only thing left in one of them is a single line." And that book, oh, the first book, turns to the page that reads, "Thank Naminé." If you remember, at the end of Chain of Memories, slash the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2, we discovered that not only did all of Sora's memories disappear, first of what happened to Kingdom Hearts 1, and then at the end of Chain of Memories, what happened in Chain of Memories, but it also cleared out Jiminy's journal of everything that happened in Kingdom Hearts 1 and in Chain of Memories, leaving only Thank Naminé. But now, when Jiminy's looking at the journal, he realizes there's a new message in that same journal, one he knows he did not write. "Their hurting will be mended when you return to end it." He takes this information to King Mickey, and with the help of Chip and Dale, they attempt to scan the data of the journal into a computer. You may be asking how they're going to scan data out of an empty journal. While that's a great question, Mickey explains this all away with the line, "Sure, the words you wrote are gone, but that doesn't mean the journal is empty." So who knows exactly what that means, but it's all the explanation we are given. Anyway, actually later we're given a little more explanation, but it's basically like, you know, Naminé in Chain of Memories said that Sora's memories were still there, even when they were not accessible to him. It's basically the same thing. The journal, even though it's an inanimate object, holds those same memories, so that's why. They begin to see the worlds they visited in Kingdom Hearts 1 appear on the monitor, but then that screen is filled with red and black blocks, and these blocks will go on to be called bugs or bug blocks. The group determines that something is wrong with the data, and there's nothing that they can do from the outside to fix it. So Chip and Dale gather data of Sora from the journal and program him a Keyblade and plan to get him to go through the journal and fix it. This character is referred to as Data Sora. However, we find Data Sora in his Dive to the Heart, and almost immediately, something that shouldn't be in the journal is there. A figure in an organization coat appears in front of him. Donald, Goofy, Mickey, everybody, they can all talk to Sora through, I guess, the microphone on the computer. I don't know. So they tell Data Sora to follow this guy because that's not supposed to be going on. He does, but can't find them and ends up reaching the door at the end of his Dive to the Heart. He goes through it and is suddenly on the beach of Destiny Islands. However, there are bug blocks all around the island. Eventually, Data Sora makes his way to the secret place looking for the cloaked figure, who he hears say, "There is a road for the taking if you end our world's aching." Then Datasaur's Keyblade begins to glow so bright that it not only fills the entire screen, but the entire room where Donald, Goofy, and Jiminy are watching in the real world. At some point shortly before this, Chip and Dale left the room to go fix something else. That's going to be notable for later. When the light clears, the line that Datasaur heard in the secret place is now in the journal, and the cloaked figure appears in front of Sora yet again. This world has been connected. Now stand tied. There's a road for the taking if you end our world's aching. To make this world whole, the keyhole is the place. Then this figure just disappears, and a keyhole appears on the door in the secret place. Sora uses the Keyblade on the keyhole, and suddenly he's inside of it, and it's the destruction of Destiny Islands. Statusora fights a data dark side, but just like at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1, instead of truly defeating it, he gets sucked up into the darkness and ends up in Traverse Town. Back in the real world, suddenly there's a new entry in the journal. There are more hurts than the one you've just undone. And they will call attention to this same line being written in the journal over and over every time that you complete a world in the first half of this game. I'm not going to bring it up again because it's really pointless and stupid that they keep talking about it. But then right afterwards, they see a new scene that shouldn't be in the journal, because neither Sora or Jiminy ever saw this. And it's Riku walking on the destroyed remnants of Destiny Islands with the brown cloaked figure, who we know to be Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, behind him. They look at each other, and then Riku smiles and backs into a corridor of darkness that presumably Ansem opened for him. So this would explain how Riku went on to go do everything, because we never actually saw him leave Destiny Islands. There was that black orb, that darkness orb that surrounded him, and then we didn't see what happened. But Datasaur awakens in Traverse Town, just like Sora did in Kingdom Hearts 1. Datasaur solves some problems in the world before finding and locking the keyhole, fixing the glitches and the bug blocks in this part of the journal. And then another scene that shouldn't be in the journal appears, showing how Pluto went through a corridor of darkness in Traverse Town, which explains how he sort of disappeared from the story in Kingdom Hearts 1 in Traverse Town, and then suddenly was at the end of the game on the road towards Castle Oblivion, which was always confusing, but they sort of explain it, that there was some corridor of darkness that somebody led him through. In the real world, Heartless show up in the library that Mickey and the crew are in, but after defeating them, they try to leave and go see if there are more hanging out in the castle, but they find that they are unable to open the door, and then a new line appears in the journal. Undo the hurt to unbar the way. Datasaur arrives in Wonderland and solves some problems for Alice, trying to help her find her memory. There's a funny note here that in the cutscene movie that's in the 2.5 remix and all the newer versions of the release, the voice actor for the Cheshire Cat is the VA for Winnie the Pooh, and he's just doing the Pooh voice, and it really doesn't fit, and it's really funny. The figure appears yet again and says, "That's right, sort it out and end the hurt. Our world still aches, and your next road still waits." Before he again disappears. At the same time, Mickey and crew realize that Naminé messing with Sora's memories may have caused the issues with the journal. I don't know how they didn't put this together ahead of time, but okay. The figure shows up again and says more enigmatic shit. The truth lies through the keyhole, and with it, true memories. Sora then makes his way to the keyhole, where he locks it, and then confronts the figure, who says, "This world has been connected. Memory and reality now stand tied. It's time for you to learn the truth." Then the figure opens a corridor of darkness and goes through it. Datasaur runs through this same corridor, chasing him. And then suddenly, ends up bursting through the doors into the library in Disney Castle. The very same room that Mickey and the crew are in and have been watching everything on a computer. And then the monitor that they've been watching shows them all in this room looking at the computer. And before they can even start to talk about this, the figure shows up and takes off his hood to reveal Riku. Everyone in the room at once questions, "Riku?" "Sorry, not quite. Much like Sora there, I'm just zeros and ones that look like somebody you know." Memories used to fill Jiminy's journal, but when they were pulled apart and then stitched back together, bugs appeared. It was these bugs that kept the book from being completely restored. Of all the possible vessels to protect the data, I was chosen from the journal's pages. The full set of memories was transferred inside of me to shield them from corruption. Everyone still looks extremely confused. So in a way, what I really am is Jiminy's journal.
"You're my journal?"
"I took the liberty of importing you all here to help solve the mystery of this entry."
"Imported? Where?"
"You really haven't noticed." So Riku explains to them that he pulled them all into the data world of the journal. From here on out, this data world inside of the journal is referred to as the Datascape. Chip and Dale are in the real world watching them on the monitor, since they were not in the room when everyone was imported. Then an alarm goes off. Chip and Dale say that somebody's trying to break into the Datascape. Riku calls them a hacker, which I find very funny. It just doesn't feel like it fits in Kingdom Hearts, but, you know, it's good. So Sora heads out to continue, knowing the only path forward is to keep fixing the journal. He heads into Olympus Coliseum, where he again finds and locks a keyhole, and Data Riku explains that the extra videos that they were seeing were deeper memories of the worlds that, for some reason, he could begin to see whenever they cleared the worlds of bugs. Doesn't really make sense to me why the journal would have memories of, like, the world's memories, but okay. That's the explanation we're given. Before Data Sora can leave Olympus Coliseum, Pete shows up, and Data Sora follows him through a data portal, which leads him to Agrabah, where there's a very metal line. Data Sora is looking around the empty streets and says, "Why is it so quiet? I thought this place would be busier. It's like a ghost town." A very good meta joke about how in all the worlds that aren't Traverse Town, Radiant Garden, or Twilight Town, we like never really see any people that aren't directly related to the plot. Every city, town, everything is just super empty. Data Sora eventually finds the keyhole and locks it, and Pete again shows up, this time with Maleficent, our hackers revealed. Maleficent destroys Data Sora's Keyblade, but just before she sets Heartless loose on him after destroying the Keyblade, Mickey and Data Riku show up to help him. Maleficent and Pete explain that Pete was actually outside of the door spying on them when the bright light came out of Data Sora's Keyblade back in the secret place of Destiny Islands, which was the thing that imported everybody into the Datascape, and this brought Pete into the Datascape as well. Maleficent, being the bad bitch she is, was able to come to him even though he was in a computer. She just, like, used her green flame teleportation and was there. They bicker a little bit, and then Maleficent captures Data Riku, and the three of them leave. Data Sora, since he's Keybladeless, is left in Disney Castle's library with Donald and Goofy, while Mickey tries to go forward to go rescue Data Riku. But Data Sora, just like the real Sora, can't stand to not do something. So he sneaks out and makes his way to Hollow Bastion alone. Donald and Goofy end up catching up with him and saving him when he's without a Keyblade, just like in Kingdom Hearts 1. And together, they progress through Hollow Bastion. While fighting Pete tries to crush Data Sora with bug blocks, but Donald and Goofy get in the way and are stuck between a bunch of blocks. And Goofy says, in this very serious, heartfelt moment, "We're a sandwich." And I laugh.
Why the blazes would you chumps risk your necks for a lump of data? Why, he's a phony. You guys made him and that Keyblade of his. He's not even real.
Oh, why don't you be quiet? Zora's our friend, no matter what.
Donald.
Ha! Some friend. He ain't nothing more than an empty shell. That kid don't even have a heart.
That's not true. We've all got Zora's heart right here inside us.
What a load of bunk. You'd see it if you paid attention. Why would Zora keep fighting for us, no matter how hard things got for him, if he didn't care about us?
And me and Donald, we're always going to fight for him, too. That's because he's in our hearts as much as we're inside of his. Something else, and I can say this for sure, Zora is our friend, and that makes him our power. Let's say it together. My friends are my power.
My friends are my power.
My friends are my power. Oh, enough with the mush already. You mugs are done, see? And I bet all that power can't protect you now.
Pete clenches his fist, and the blocks begin to converge and crush Donald and Goofy. Zora falls backwards, unable to help.
Please, just stop.
Time to say goodnight.
Let them go.
And he reaches out his hand, and then the blocks all disappear in a flash of light. And Data Zora has a Keyblade again. Mickey shows up and explains that this is not the fake Keyblade that they programmed, but this is a real Keyblade that Data Zora suddenly has access to. Pete escapes, but then Data Zora follows after him and beats him. Then Pete summons Data Riku, who is in the darkness outfit and writhing in pain.
Riku, what happened?
Glad you asked. I went and took the liberty of taking away his liberty. Data stuff like this sure is useful. All I had to do was load some of those bug thingies into your Pally's datamatronics. Now let's see what this minion can do.
And he pushes Data Riku towards Zora.
I order you to attack.
I will never answer to you.
No? Okay then. What if I had just a little more juice?
And numerous bug blocks surround Riku and proceed to spin and then merge with his body, infusing him with energy. Amidst his screams of agony, his face loses all emotion, and he stands immobile afterwards.
Stop!
Well, that ought to keep you for a while. So long, I'll just leave you two to get reacquainted.
Pete exits, and Zora runs to Riku's aid.
Riku, talk to me.
Mickey's voice is heard.
I heard a scream. Zora, tell me what's going on.
Mickey, it's Riku. They put bugs in him.
What?
Mickey, it's Riku. They put bugs in him.
What?
Riku, can you hear my voice? Riku!
Riku comes to his senses and pushes Zora away before he summons Soul Eater.
Please, can't you hear what we're saying to you?
Data Riku clenches his fist.
Destroy me!
What? And they fight. Though Data Zora clearly doesn't want to. After defeating him, they return to Mickey and crew, and a new keyhole appears over the bugged Riku. Over the bugged Data Riku. Data Zora enters it, and is transported into a black room that resembles a starry night sky. Data streams traveling along the walls in haphazard directions. Data Zora looks around.
It sure is empty. Is this really the inside of Riku's datascape?
Riku, wearing his black hood again, appears behind Zora.
Riku, are you okay?
You shouldn't be here, Zora. I can fight the bugs off a little longer, but they're spreading. And in just a little bit of time, they'll take over all my data. And they won't stop there. They're going to dominate the entirety of the datascape, and that includes you, too. You won't be able to last long. Here, take this. Escape while you can. Riku materializes a shining blue orb in his hand.
What's this?
It's data that isn't supposed to be inside Jiminy's journal. Someone added it after the fact. Zora takes the orb from him.
So this someone, was this the same person who filled you with the journal's data?
I don't know for sure. It's up to you to find out now. You've got to figure out who it is. Because of you, all the bugs outside are gone. If you can just solve the mystery of this extra data, then the journal will be completely restored. It'll also give the others a way back home. But wait, what'll happen to you? I'll dive into the darkness and take the bugs with me so that they're destroyed. They'll never see the light again. This'll all be over. Go, while I can still control this. I won't be able to hold them off much longer. Hurry, Sora. If you leave now, you can make it out. I don't want to hurt you. You have to go.
Riku, I get it. There's still just enough time.
Right.
Great. Since there's escape time, that means there's enough time to stop the bugs and help you, right?
What? I didn't mean that. And Sora chuckles.
Come on, this is me here. You didn't really think I'd just give up and leave you like this, did you?
Sora. I remember now. Once you get an idea in your head.
That's right. Now tell me how to save you.
Riku points to an empty space, and then a doorway made of data appears. See that door? It should lead deeper into my data. Inside, you'll find a vast world created from my memories. Once you've gotten rid of the bugs in one world, another world should open for you. Bugs are everywhere, Sora. Be careful.
Okay, be right back.
Datasaur enters the door and is back on Destiny Islands. But now there are no Heartless to fight, but the bug blocks themselves have become kind of sentient and move around and are the enemies. Datariku eventually, after Sora weakens the bug blocks in this area, shows up and talks to him. He explains that the bugs were trying to escape the Datascape, and that's why Datariku brought Mickey and crew into the Datascape. But he says he regrets it now, because if the bugs fully take over him, it's likely that they'll all be stuck there forever, and probably destroyed by the bugs. Datasaur fights through Traverse Town yet again, and then Datasaur explains that he was being weird at the beginning of the game because Datasaur needed to be able to handle this stuff on his own, because if he couldn't, Riku needed to be off doing other things trying to handle it. Datasaur goes back to Wonderland and defeats the bugs, where afterwards Datasaur gives Datariku a heartfelt pep talk. They go to Agrabah, where they eventually are able to enter something called the deepest part of the data. Datariku also explains that he wasn't the one in the black coat at the very, very beginning of the game in the dive to the heart. He was only the one in the black coat from Destiny Islands and beyond. Datasaur goes into this deeper portion of data and fights a bug version of Dark Riku, which then clears all the bugs out of Datariku. Sora exits the Datariku keyhole and arrives in front of Mickey and crew in Hollow Bastion. This has cleared all the bugs, or should have cleared all the bugs out of the journal, so they now have a way to escape. So Datariku opens a portal out of the Datascape for Mickey and crew. They say the goodbyes and return to the real world. Datariku and Datasaur are talking to them through the computer, and Datariku explains that the journal should return to normal now, but everything that happened in the Datascape will be reset. So Datasaur, and probably Datariku as well, will forget everything. But then something appears on screen. Glitch found in the darkness. Awakening dark glitch. Delete Datascape? Yes or no? And as if from somewhere else, yes is entered. The crew begins to talk about all the reasons they have to stop this. I mean, whatever is able to do this is dangerous, and if the Datascape is destroyed, might be able to escape into the real world. They'll lose all the data of the journal anyway, so the whole game would have been pointless. And also, Maleficent and Pete are still in there. And though they may not like them, they don't want to just kill them by having them be deleted along with some computer program. So Datasaur runs off to try and find Pete and Maleficent so that he can get them out of there before the deletion process begins. He finds them fighting the core of the bugs, a giant bugged-out dark side. Datariku explains that this is actually Sora's Heartless, and that it has been collecting all the power of the Heartless that Datasaur defeated in the Datascape. Since these aren't real Heartless, their hearts aren't released, they don't go to Kingdom Hearts,
all of this Heartless has been absorbing all their power the whole game. Datasaur fights the dark side, but it is too strong for him. Mickey returns to save him from an attack, and together they defeat it. Data Riku then gets Maleficent and Pete and helps them leave, and Mickey again leaves back to the real world. While they're leaving, Maleficent says to Pete,
"It's finally clear."
"What's that?"
"Why, that world they call the Date Escape seemed so familiar."
"Huh?"
"A book, known as the Ancient Book of Prophecies. It's said to be capable of transcribing events that have yet to take place."
"No kidding. If we got our mitts on something like that, we could finally take over permanent-like."
"Yes. Considering legend has it that the book can also conjure, making an entire world filled with beings and powers that have yet to exist."
"Really? A book that can just make up a world? I don't know. That sounds like nothing more than fluffy pink kids' fairy tale stuff. It just sounds too good to be true."
"Ah, but who's to say a fairy tale's not true? And I ask you, how does that differ from this world they call the Date Escape?"
"Hmm.
Don't you think it might just be worth our while to search for a connection? Perhaps there's a link of some sort between this so-called journal of theirs and the Book of Prophecies."
"I'd say that we're onto something. I'd say that we're onto something huge, huh, Maleficent?"
"Ours is not a lost cause. First, we must take possession of this data of theirs."
And they head off. And yes, she was not calling it the Datascape, but the Date Escape. Because she doesn't know what computers are. And it's a good joke. Back in the real world, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, and Jiminy are all sitting in the library when Data Riku appears on the screen again. He says that a new world has shown up in the journal with new data, and it should lead to some answers about the first cloak figure and the original message that showed up in the journal. The only problem is that after everything was fixed, Data Sora was completely reset and doesn't remember anything. So, with Data Riku's help, Mickey heads back into the Datascape to explain things for once in his goddamn life. After explaining some stuff to Data Sora, Data Sora agrees to help Mickey, because of course he does, but also because he still feels the memory of the things that have happened before, partially, like, in the real world, and then also everything that just happened. Together, they open up a keyhole, and Data Sora ends up in the extra data, inside Castle Oblivion, where another cloaked figure appears.
"Who are you?"
"Me. I'm nobody. In this place, to find is to lose, and to lose is to find. That's the way of things here in Castle Oblivion."
"Castle Oblivion?"
And the figure begins walking to Sora. "That's right. Here you will meet people you knew, people you care about." Figure takes out a card with the picture of Destiny Islands on it and hands it to Sora. "Use that card and press on. You will find the truth that sleeps ahead." The figure disappears, so Data Sora progresses through Castle Oblivion, led by the cloaked figure, and eventually he runs into Data Riku, who says he wants to show Data Sora something. It's a scene of Riku in Neverland. I assume this is after he escapes Captain Hook's ship with the unconscious Kairi. Data Riku explains that Sora has always been good at helping others with their hurt, that like a sponge, he sort of absorbs it into himself and leaves things better where he was. After this, the cloaked figure tries to convince Data Sora that he can do whatever he wants in these card worlds. He can hurt the people in the worlds if he wants. It won't matter. He doesn't know who they are. And even if he did, they aren't real anyways. But Data Sora rebuffs this, saying that he couldn't do that. He would feel guilty. That would be a bad thing to do. The figure says, "You have arrived at the first question," and then leaves. So Data Sora progresses through the castle, through rooms of Traverse Town and Wonderland, before running into the figure again. Here, Data Sora explains to him that though he doesn't know these people or remember them after leaving the area, he still has the heartache of forgetting the people he cares about, and the loneliness. The figure seems pleased and leaves, Data Sora continues through Olympus and Agrabah. Afterwards, the figure tries to get Data Sora to allow himself to fully forget the people that he's mostly forgotten, saying that he would be free of the hurt of forgetting. Yet, with some encouragement from Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, Data Sora continues forward into Hollow Bastion. Afterwards, Data Sora runs into the figure who yet again taunts Data Sora. But yet again, he rebuffs this, saying he may not remember who he met, but he remembers that he met them, and he misses them, and that the hurt of missing them isn't a bad thing. It reminds him that what he's forgotten is important to him, and that it's enough for him to hold on to the hurt until he remembers, even if that means he'll be dragged into the darkness. The figure then reveals itself to be Data Roxas. And Data Roxas attacks Data Sora, but after a while of fighting, Data Sora refuses to continue. "Why won't you do it?" "I get it. You've seen through my disguise. I'm just like everyone else you've encountered in this place. Made of data. I'm not even worth it, is that it? I guess there's no point destroying something if it never existed, right?"
"Not at all. You say that you're an illusion, but you certainly pack a really big punch. You said you'd show me hurt, and you weren't wrong. Actually, the hurt that I just felt was more than that."
And Sora approaches him, and he raises his keyblades in a defensive posture.
"Sure, it might have hurt while we were fighting, but I sensed a different kind of hurt from you. It was kind of like an intense, sharp pain, but it felt sort of familiar, almost like it was my own, as if we'd been connected. Like right then, we shared the same hurt. If somehow it brings me closer to people in that kind of way, then carrying around a little hurt can't be all that bad."
The figure smiles and then sighs and dispels his keyblades. "Can't be all that bad? All right, I give up." He produces the final card and tosses it to Sora. "Here, you pass, Sora. Congratulations. You understand hurt. Now use this to find the truth."
"What do you mean?"
"My role was to see if you were ready to take ownership of the hurt inside you. And now, that role is done. Nothing left for me to do but go away."
"Are you going to go back home?"
"I don't know if I really have one. But there's a place I'd like to be."
"A place? Where?"
The figure smiles and then moves forward and merges with Sora.
"What's this feeling? I've got memories that don't belong to me. A place to call home, and a sunset that's comforting. My first and my last summer vacation."
Sora looks at the card. It's a card of Castle Oblivion. And then says to Data Roxas, who's inside him now,
"You can rest easy. I've got you now."
Data Sora approaches this final door when Mickey finally catches up to him. They use the final card on the door and enter the pod chamber, where they find Data Nominee. Mickey and Data Nominee explain hers and Sora's past together, and then Nominee explains that the bugs in the journal were the result of the memories of people who were connected to Sora that were sleeping inside his heart. She says that it should be impossible for somebody else's memories to be inside him. But in looking, she tried to figure it out, and they were supposed to be there even though they weren't his. But these memories, they were too painful to give to Sora right away. She was afraid they would be so painful that they would break his heart. So, she left the message in the journal, hoping it would lead to finding some way to make sure that Sora was ready to face all the hurt and pain that he held in these memories. In trying to add these painful memories to the journal, this actually added the hurt of them, and this hurt became the bug blocks. And hopefully, by fighting the bugs, Sora would be ready to face the memories.
Guys, you kind of lost me a few minutes ago.
Nominee chuckles at him.
You don't have to understand it. You already learned how to face the hurt, Sora.
I did?
You most certainly did. At times, the pain can be wiped away,
but there's also a pain that stays with you. There's only one way to deal with that. You face it head on, and then you accept it. And if it happens that the hurt is too great for you to bear alone, well, then you turn to a friend close to your heart. And Sora's eyes widen in realization. It'll bring us closer together. The hurt will only make us stronger. I'm willing to try. I'm ready to face those memories that you found. It might have to be painful, but I can take it.
Wait, you're not in this alone. Always remember, I'm here too.
Yep. Naminé says, thank you, and holds out an orb. Just touch this. Don't be afraid. You'll feel all the memories that are locked inside flow right into your hearts. Mickey holds his hand out to Sora, and they grasp hands, and together they reach out and touch the orb. It releases a powerful light. It envelops the entire room, and Data Sora and Mickey find themselves floating in a void of light, hand in hand. Two figures appear in front of them, Roxas and Axel.
These are hidden truths. Sora has been keeping them locked away, deep inside of him. Remember, these memories you're feeling, they don't belong to him.
And then Sora and Mickey turn and see Naminé and Shion.
Naminé, that's you. But who's the other girl? She feels so familiar.
And something happened. Something terrible, didn't it?
They're waiting for Sora. He's the only one who can put an end to their hurt. Diz told me he hid something inside you during the year you were asleep. I asked him what, and all he would say was that he was clearing his conscience.
Sora holds his fist over his chest.
Sora must be the key to saving the people you saw, and the ones you're about to see.
And then Terra, Aqua, and Ventus appear in front of him.
It can't be!
Maybe you know how much they're hurting. These three were keys too. They were connected to the Keyblade's truth.
And in a flash, everybody except for Sora and Mickey vanishes. Data Naminé is now standing there next to them.
And they're still connected, Sora. Somewhere way deep down inside you. Funny, I feel as though I've met them. Yes, two of them you have met. As for the third, I never realized it. But you and he share a very special connection. Yeah.
Naminé, you said Sora has to call out these memories to the surface. Is it time?
Naminé shakes her head. I can't say for sure, but I do know a day will come when they must rise from their sleep. And then... the only person who can save them will be Sora.
The bond they all share. That's going to be the key, right? Don't worry, Naminé. I'll make sure I pass this on to Sora. You know, the one in the outside world.
Please do.
Sora and Mickey nod and then look at each other, and Naminé gives a small laugh.
Well?
Just a second.
Huh?
Our promise. Your promise to me that I don't know. You kept it, right?
I may be gone, but my promises to him are forever. And anyway, I owe this much. For all those people that I hurt.
So what happens to you? The one that's right here?
I'm really just Data, made to pass along a message. I shouldn't exist right now in this journal at all. And now, the record of me will disappear. But when you pass my message on to the other Sora, just remember to tell him the things that you've seen and that you've felt. If you do that, then we'll be at rest. Her and me too.
Along with everybody connected to Sora.
Naminé, you got it.
And she smiles.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot. I have a message for you too.
And he smiles at her.
Thank you, Naminé.
She's surprised at first, and then nods, and grins happily. She fades away into light and Data, and the scene shifts to the message she left in the journal. Mickey narrates,
And so ended our journey to connect those memories with these.
The pages turn back to the words "Thank Naminé" and continue until the book closes.
Sora, when Naminé's words are passed on to you, when the day comes that you learn of this great, unknown, and mysterious adventure, it's important that you understand. Whatever you feel in your heart, that's what he felt in his.
Then after the credits, King Mickey sits writing a letter with a quill in the Disney Castle library. A clear bottle rests on the desk next to him.
I wanted to tell you right away about memories from the past that sleep within you, and...
The scene shifts to Kairi on Destiny Islands, running across the bridge carrying that same glass bottle with a rolled letter and the king's seal on it.
And about the pieces that will tie you to your future.
Sora opens the bottle, pulls out the letter, and reads while Kairi and Riku look on.
Sora, Riku, Kairi, the truth behind the Keyblade has found its way through so many people, and now I know that it rests in your hearts. Sora, you are who you are because of those people, and they're hurting, and you're the only one who can end their sadness. They need you. It's possible that all your journeys so far have been preparing you for this great new task that's waiting for you. I should have known. There were no coincidences, only links in a much larger chain of events. And now, the door to your next journey is ready to be opened.
And Sora, Riku, and Kairi all look up into the sky. The letter from the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 finally revealed. But before we're done with this game, we have two brief secret movies. The first, Signs of What's Next. Mickey meets with Yen Sid at the Mysterious Tower.
Yen Sid, I think we're finally close to figuring out where Ven's heart is.
Is that so? Then that leaves only Terra.
Right, and we've got to save all three of them.
Yen Sid strokes his beard, thinking.
The question is, what does Xehanort intend to do next?
Xehanort? But his two halves are gone. There was Ansem, who commanded the Heartless, and Xemnas, who commanded the Nobodies. Didn't Sora defeat them both?
Correct. Those two met their end. However, therein lies exactly our problem. Their destruction now guarantees the original Xehanort's reconstruction.
Huh?
Xehanort's heart, once seized by his heartless half, is now free, and his body, which had become his nobody, has been vanquished. Both halves will now be returned to the whole. In short, this means Master Xehanort will return.
And you think that maybe he's going to try something?
A man like Xehanort will have left many roads open.
Well, it doesn't matter what he cooks up. Me and Sora will be ready, and Riku too.
Yes, they are indeed strong, but not true Keyblade masters like you. Tell me, would a single one of you suffice if what you faced was not a single one of him?
Mickey jumps up, startled.
What do you mean?
Mickey, please summon Sora hither, Riku as well.
Of course, but why?
To show us the mark of mastery.
And our second secret movie, Destiny. In the computer room, past Ansem's study in Radiant Garden, we see Dylan, Evan, alias Ienzo, Issa, and Lee laying unconscious on the floor. Because as we've just learned, and as I've spoiled in the podcast before, if you defeat the Heartless, and the nobody of a being, the full person is recompleted. So this is happening after Kingdom Hearts 2. After all of their defeats, their true forms were brought back where they lost it.
That was more difficult than I thought, but at least things are on track.
And the camera pans to this man, and we see Brig talking to somebody.
Lord Xemnas is nowhere to be seen, so that means the party's already begun, huh?
Yes.
Man, does that Xehanort scare me like nobody's business. The way he can see into minds. It doesn't help that nobody knows what it is that the old man wants.
I wonder if even you know what's going on inside your own head. We see that the person Bragg is speaking to is a young man, maybe late teens, early 20s, with silver hair and yellow eyes, wearing a black coat. I will be led wherever it is I am destined to go.
Sounds to me like you don't have a clue of your own.
Every Keyblade Master is bequeathed a Keyblade of his very own. With the passing of time, as you can imagine, more and more Keyblades were forged to be handed down. But of all the Keyblades in existence, Master Xehanort's is the most ancient. That is my destiny, but it has yet to become my reality.
Hey, that's okay. This is all connected to the ancient Keyblade War, isn't that right? Whatever. I got my hands full with my own plans. So which poor soul will it be?
Bragg motions to the men unconscious on the floor behind him. The figure chuckles and begins to say a word, but all we can make out is the S sound at the beginning of the word. And then, on screen, reconnect Kingdom Hearts. Our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by On Ultra. You can find his Bandcamp link in the show notes. You can also find a link to our Discord server in the show notes. We do have some new friends there to welcome. MK Namikaze, Joseph Mosif, D Money 77777.
D Money?
And Casey.
Hi.
The 777 reminds me of Geekly Inc.
Early Drunks and Dragons.
Yes.
But that's all from us this week. Bye.
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 So, that's a naked husband in the background. Yeah, yeah.
Austin's cheering for you. I turned on my camera as you were walking by, and I didn't realize you were walking by, so I turned it back off out of respect for, like, you know, our space. And Austin goes, that's a naked husband in the background. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.